Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Sabres win their second straight. Buffalo getting it done tonight here at home against Vegas, 4-2 the final. So we welcome you back here to the press box at KeyBank Center. I'm Brian Colziel. This is the Paul William Bell Sabres postgame show. Appreciate your patience through that extra commercial break. Third period whizzing by with a lack of whistles, but nevertheless, here we are in Buffalo with a two-goal victory. Jack Eichel, an amazing move on a two-on-one, getting the game-winning goal for the Sabres. And then late with Fleury out of the net, Curtis Lazar's empty netter seals it for the Sabres in this 4-2 victory. Coming up here in just a matter of moments, we'll be headed to the Sabres locker room. Paul Hamilton standing outside awaiting to enter right now and talk to the players to get reaction from this 4-2 win today. We'll also have Ralph Krueger in his live postgame comments when he meets with Paul and the rest of the media. We'll take you there for that. We'll get you through all the stats and highlights from this one, update you on the rest of the league night, update you on the standings as we break down this 4-2 win tonight over a good Vegas team, mind you. They're in a good battle in the Pacific Division with Arizona and Calgary and Edmonton. It's a big logjam in there, and despite Vegas coming into the night technically in fourth, they actually were only 2 points out of first, so it was really, really tight, and the Sabres able to get this one done tonight against a team that is playing well in Vegas, and now the Sabres pick up their 21st win of the season. 21-19-7 for Buffalo, 49 points. We'll let you know where that puts them in the Atlantic and in the East here as all of the early 7 o'clock games here are just about heading final, including obviously the one that we watched right here today. Well, I mean, again, where can we start? Let's start again with the captain like it seems like we always do. Jack Eichel scores a goal, another highlight reel special. How many goals this year are you going to drop your jaw at and like look at you know the person you're next to watching the game and be like, oh my goodness, he did it again. Coming in on a two-on-one with Gergensen's. And if you're Marc-Andre Fleury, you got to expect probably Eichel's not passing that at that point if you're aware that it's Eichel and Gergensen's, which I'm sure Fleury is. And not only did Eichel just blow by the D, but he came in with so much speed, it looked like he was going to come across the crease. And Fleury bit, and Eichel put it in short side. Speaking of Eichel, he's in the room live with Paul Hamilton.
We were trying to step up, just trying to get it around him, and I kind of saw Fleury cheating a little bit on the pass, so I just tried to tuck it in the short side.
How'd you feel you guys reacted to that goal in the third period there and handled it from the rest?
I thought we did well. You give them credit. I mean, they're a veteran team. They don't give you a whole lot. They check really well. They transition the puck well. I mean, you can tell those guys have obviously had some runs in the playoffs. And, I give us a lot of credit for sticking with it and finding a way to get 2 points. And, during the second, I think our puck management wasn't where we wanted it to be. I definitely made some bad turnovers. And some other guys probably wanted to make some different reads and different plays. But, give Linus credit. He made some huge saves for us. And, we're able to find a way to get a goal on the power play and head into the third with the lead. And then obviously they score one on the power play, but we just stick with it. And, it's a gutsy win, and we needed that win.
Jack, in the first period, you guys skated really well.
Two questions here. Where are we going?
In the first period, you guys created a lot of offense. Was it because of the skating that you guys were skating well in the period?
I think we did a good job on the cycle. I thought we made them play in their end, and we protected pucks well, and our D were pretty active. I think, when we're doing things like that, we're a really good hockey team. That's our game. And I think in the second, we got away from it a little bit. We didn't spend as much time down there as we wanted. And, I think it kind of, it kind of stalled our game a bit. But I thought we got it going a little bit better in the third. And it all starts with our forecheck and just being aggressive, trying to put the other team on their heels. And, some guys stepped up and had big nights tonight. Obviously, Oki's goal is a huge one. And, Rhino had a couple great had a couple of great plays, and I just thought we stuck with it, and you know, we needed those 2 points bad, so it was good to get them.
Jack, what does it say about the resilience of this club, the way you've been able to bounce back from the Tampa and Vancouver game? In the past, those would have been killer losses.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think... You know, I think the group just responds to Ralph so well, and the message he delivers, especially after you know, games like St. Louis and Vancouver, where I think we get away from our identity a little bit, and we don't do the things that make us successful. I think, you know, Ralph's able to hone the group in so well and get us to you know, get us to play the game that, you know we need to play to win. And it starts with protecting our net and the house around our goalie, and you know, obviously transitioning the puck well and playing in their end. But I just think that he's been so good at bringing us back and getting us all back on the same page and bought in. And he kind of just hits the reset button. He doesn't carry his emotions over from, you know, maybe he's mad at us for our performances here and there, but he never carries it over. And it's he just brings such a good attitude to the rink every day. And I think it just flows through the locker room with all the players, and we're able to reset after bad losses and just find a way to you know, be good the next night, because you know, that's all you can really do. It's you know, you can't hold on to your mistakes, and obviously you can't ride your wins too much. I mean, it happens so quick in this league. Every night, every night's a new challenge, so you just got to get ready for the next game.
Thanks, guys.
Jack Eichel on the post game, and Kyle Laposa is over here.
We'll see all our great fans after the break.
Well, Kyle, your power play has really helped you guys the past few games. What's helped it to catch fire lately?
I think we're just shooting. I think when it's not going well, you need volume of shots, and just that seems to be opening everything up. So we're just going to keep at it.
Has there been more movement on it, where you guys are maybe moving more?
Yeah, I think we've gotten some movement. It hasn't been as stagnant. Guys are kind of in different spots and kind of just playing and letting your instincts and your skill take over.
On your goal, did you just kind of set the defenseman up for a screen there?
Yeah, I just pulled it, and he kind of left his legs open, so just wanted to fire it and use him as a screen there.
You had
He's been good to me over the years, but yeah, he's a competitor. He's I know he's just a great person, and he's been a great goalie in this league for a long time. He's you know, he's a guy that, you know, he's been a star, and he's a tough competitor. He made some great saves tonight, so anytime you can win against him, it's a good game.
How about being able to come back? I mean, they had you a little bit in the second period. What got you guys back onto your game?
I think we just started to play simple again. I think in the second, our puck management was just terrible. We just turned pucks over at the blue line, turned it over in the neutral zone, and then they just kind of shoved it back down our throats. So, you know, we just got back to playing our game and being simple and getting the pucks in and trying to work them.
Kyle, you talked the first day of training camp about the feeling Ralph brought into this room. What have you learned about the way he helps you guys reset after a tough loss?
Well, it's just... you just come to work and it's a new day. I mean, it's just, there's no moping around. There's no hard feelings. If we have to watch clips the game before and learn from it, we do. And if we have to just move on and focus on what we need to do the next game, we will. It's a new day. You know, you're going to lose games in this league, but just the positivity and just the vibe that he brings and the way that he speaks and motivates has been awesome for us this year.
Kyle Laposa on the post game. Brian, back to you.
Thank you very much, Paul Hamilton. Kyle Laposa getting his fifth of the season. He's talking about the power play. He has the first of two consecutive power play goals for the Sabres. Sam Reinhart got the other one. Those were the two goals in the second period. Eichel then scores in the third on a 5-on-5. Lazar, the empty netter. Back to the room. Here's Sam Reinhart now live.
Benefiting you lately. Yeah, that's what we're just trying to create more movement and be a little be a little quicker with the puck, you know, getting open for each other and, you know, finding those lanes.
How does the dynamic change between the line and down low?
I mean, for me, it just kind of creates more movement, you know, guys kind of reading, reacting. You know, I think we've got guys that can kind of play any position out there, you know, so just trying to make reads and, you know, find the open guy, really.
Do you like that? You could be in the circle. You could be in front of the net. You could be anywhere on that. And it seems like you are. It seems like you really are kind of driving the other team crazy because they don't know where you are.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really know where half the time out there right now. It's kind of new, but like I said, everyone's kind of filling into different positions. You know, the coach has done a good job of kind of letting us know, you know, kind of how the other team defends, and just kind of letting us go from there. So it's been nice to see a couple go in for us, and we're just trying to keep that going.
Would you say Risto's a little bit of an underrated passer to make that little pass?
Yeah, he's looked very poised down there. So you know, that's a big part of it. That, you know, maybe if he didn't look so poised, maybe I would be you know, a little more tempted to go down there. But you know, he's been doing a great job. He's been making great reads of, you know, when to stay in front of the net, when to release. So you know, it's been fun to watch.
He seems like he's having fun with it. Is he?
I think so, yeah. You know, especially that goal in Detroit. He certainly earned that. He put himself in the right position all night on the power play, and you know, he was obviously pretty excited when it went in, and we were too.
What got you guys through this game? I mean, there were times where Vegas had their chances, especially in the second period. What got you guys back to your game?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it was our best by any means. I think you ask Ike's, you know, myself. I think, you know, bottom line, I was just trying to find a way. You know, I think that team checks one of the best in the league. I think they're a little quicker than us in the second. You know, a couple big saves, you know, a couple kills there for us. You know, we're able to keep it in, and then obviously a big goal by Ike's.
Jack and Kyle were just saying that Rolf's ability to hit the reset button has really helped you guys this year. The fact that after the Vancouver game, you've won these two in a row, is that a testament to that, I guess?
Yeah, I think his in-game management has been great for us. You know, whether it's watching guys, man, it's making sure everyone's fresh out there when they're called upon. So, you know, it's little things like that, you know, go a long way on the bench throughout the game.
Thank you, Sam. Sam Reinhart on the post game. Brian, back to you.
All right, there's Sam Reinhart earlier, Jack Eichel, and Kyle Oposo. All those interviews, part of our Blue and Gold Locker Report, delivered by Speed Global Services. Around the corner or around the world, Speed delivers. Visit speedgs.com. 4-2 Sabres victorious over Vegas. Two-game road trip coming up at Dallas Thursday at 8:30, at Nashville Saturday at 8. Of course, you'll hear both those games right here on the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network. Still to come, Ralph Kruger's live post-game comments. You heard all the players talk about Kruger, how he's getting his team to respond. Well, we'll hear what the Sabres head coach has to say about this 4-2 win tonight. Also, highlights, NHL scores, we'll check the standings, and Jason Bottrell's interview from earlier today, all coming up here on the Paul William Belts postgame. We'll say goodnight to all of our local affiliates. We'll talk to you Thursday at 8:30. If you want to keep listening to the postgame, go to WGR550.com. 4-2 Buffalo over Vegas. More from KeyBank Center after this. This is the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network. Welcome back to KeyBank Center. Brian Colziel with you. 4-2 Buffalo. Sabres getting it done with a strong third period. Jack Eichel at 7:57 gets the game winner on a 2-on-1. He's coming down with Gergensen's and just blows by the D and makes a real pretty move. That goal, he goes short side on. And again, I thought he was coming in with so much speed. Fleury moved. And I thought, just looking at it quickly, like that he was probably anticipating Eichel maybe coming across the crease, and Eichel just dropped it near side and put it home. Just another highlight reel goal for Eichel, and he gets his 28th. Now, Eichel with 28, he's on pace for 49 goals. Impressive. Okay, Ralph Kruger making his way to the podium. Let's take you there live.
Yeah, no, it was definitely the genius that he has in him came out on that goal. You know, I think we were all quite frustrated with the second period and came out of it actually unscathed. And that was the language between periods. And for him to come out with that energy and to understand the opportunity we had after the painful 2-2 goal and, you know, the situation we were in after the penalties, I thought it's the leader that we have in Jack and the player that we have in Jack all came through in that moment of brilliance.
There's a lot of talk in there about the way you have helped them reset. The Tampa game, the Vancouver game in the past might linger for weeks here, and it doesn't. Yeah. What do you do in your mind to help a team reset the way they've been able to?
Yeah, I think more than anything, it's just what we do in advance of the game or what we do between the games. It's important that we are continually focusing on the habits that make us strong and give us a chance against top teams like Las Vegas. And I thought that You know, between periods, we stayed quite calm, but we were stern, we were angry, and it was just about getting back to that. And the first period was one of our best in a long time, and it was quite disappointing then to give up on some of those habits. At the same time, they're as good a checking team as we've seen in this building, and they hound pucks like I haven't really seen. Maybe St. Louis does it, but not many other teams hound like that. And to recover and still win the game, I thought was excellent. But what I do is just keep the dialogue up with the guys, keep things honest, keep it real, and have them also participate in the process.
Thanks, everyone.
That's it. Have a good evening. Thanks.
Okay, I think Ralph Krueger a little surprised of how short that was, as we all are. Just a few seconds there with the Sabres head coach. His press conference brought to you by Paul William Bell. It's your power of attorney. Not much to complain about, I guess, from the media in the room. But the players spoke so highly of Ralph Krueger during the interviews from the locker room. And then the follow-up there from Ralph Krueger, it seemed as though that was obviously a no-brainer. 4-2 the final. Highlights coming up. Pat Mellicaro now joining me here in the press box.
That's the thing that I took away from all three of the interviews that Paul Hamilton did in the locker room, was that there's a buy-in factor there that I don't know if it was there before or not, but with Ralph Krueger, it seems like from training camp to now, there's no question that this team believes in what he's saying. They might not always win. They're going to have bad performances over 82 games over the course of the season, but there's a belief that when they have a poor performance, they have a bad 14 or 16 minutes like they did against Vancouver, they can come back in the next game or two, correct it, and you haven't seen, you know, there have been stretches where they have not won a lot of games or collected a lot of points, but I feel like a lot of times the effort is there even though they've lost some of those games.
Yeah, I mean, it's 2-1 Buffalo heading to the third, and right away Miller takes that double penalty. He goes right for tripping, and then the unsportsmanlike, not a smart thing to do. Vegas scores
7 seconds in.
Yeah, it's 2-2, and they get another power play because
right,
there's two of them on Miller. And you're thinking, uh-oh, does it get away here? When, in fact, they kill it, and then Eichel a few minutes later gets the league back on a highlight play, just him taking over like always. And you heard Ralph mention that. Like, that's – he used the word brilliance. He goes, that, you know, that's the brilliance of Jackie. He even said genius along the way of how he went and made that goal happen.
And, oh, by the way, Ralph Krueger was not happy with the way the second period went. Even though the Sabres end up with a 2-1 lead, they get massively outshot 12-5 in that period after having a similar, on the flip side, shot total in the first and not getting a goal and still being scoreless. You almost had the feeling of, well, they're out shooting Vegas 13-4 after one period, but nobody scored. Does the next fluky bounce go Vegas' way? And then all of a sudden, another 20 minutes go by, and you have the lead. So it might not be your best period. It might not be one you're going to, you know, want to look towards and see what the positives necessarily were. But you end up with the lead, and like you said, in the third, you don't crumble after things start to continue to go Vegas' way.
That's right. 4-2 Buffalo over Vegas. Brian Colziel here on the Paul William Belts postgame show, now joined by Pat Mellicaro from our Sabres Radio Network crew. Eichel extends his point streak. Now he's on pace for 49 goals, and he's just continuing to carry the team. But the others tonight that contribute, we know he's going to score. He gets a goal and assist. Reinhardt has a goal and assist. He's usually around there as well. But Oposo coming through, one of the players we talked about tonight, he came through with 3 shots and a big goal because they needed it that moment to kind of get them going.
Yeah, and I was looking at the block shots from the game as well. The Sabres end up being credited with 18 over the course of the night. But you look, it's pretty evenly distributed. Henry Jokiharju is credited with 3 block shots. You know, Reinhardt has 2 of them as well. So I look at it, and Vegas had a lot of chances, but the Sabres found a way to get in shot lanes at certain times, and even when Linus Allmark was out of position at certain points, they're able to, still able to keep the puck out of the net, especially in that second period, which was so important to the Sabres here tonight.
Let's get our Sabres Core Group feature in. A look at the Core Group presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Western New York, proud partner of the Buffalo Sabres. Well, we've obviously talked Eichel's game. He had no shots going into the third, ends up with 3. Of course, one of them goes in, ends up a +2. But how about the move from Dahlin in the first period that almost went in the net?
The 2 moves he made.
And
he even made another play later in the period that I thought was very nice. Unfortunately, he was on the wrong end of things on Vegas' first goal of the game. But, yeah, you're starting to see a more confident player now to his second season and really finding his way. And, again, one of the things I liked about Dahlin last year, and I feel like if seeing it again, he makes a mistake once, he doesn't get fooled by it again. And he made a mistake early in the second, and he learned from it and moved on. And, you know, what about the game from Rasmus Ristolainen and it contributing in all aspects of the game tonight for the Sabres? Another guy who you look at the minutes on the ice, and he's right up there again, as always, this season. And
but a controlled 20 minutes. This is what Paul Hamilton talked about. 20-41, not the 26, 25 or 26. This is the product of Ralph Kruger going with 7D. Maybe you get – these nights when 7D play, you get a better Rasmus Ristolainen because – I love what Ralph said, and this goes probably for all the D. He knows they can go, they can pinch, they can go ahead and make plays, they can go all out, because when you have 7D, he said they know that you're going to get me. If you need the break, there's the availability to get a little bigger of a break because they have the extra body.
And I like it, you know, when at first the thought was starting to really develop of having seven defensemen, I was wondering what it might do to the forwards, but then you look at the way Ralph Kruger and his coaching staff handles the forwards throughout the course of a game, he usually shortens his bench. So you usually have a line of guys that are not playing very much in the second half of the game. So it benefits the forwards because you're basically only skating with 9-10 guys anyway at forward. And then the defenseman, you get the added rest here and there, and allows you to be fresher and more active later in the game. So while I was a little skeptical of it when it first started, you're seeing the results of more positives than negatives for sure.
Yeah. Let's finish with this home record. Now 14 wins at home, 14-6-3. That's an actual home ice advantage.
Yeah, and they're scoring a lot of goals here, like you laid out during one of the intermissions tonight. So this look, they put up four tonight, including the empty net goal. This is, at times, this is a very fun team to watch here at home. They take their cue from their captain, and there's a lot of other great plays throughout the course of the game. And what are one of the things we talked about the Sabres over the last couple of years, trying to keep up with a lot of the teams that have speed, young talent, and can really move up and down the ice? Well, I think you can say, at least here at home, the Sabres are able to do that.
That's right. Yeah, that stat from the intermission, the Sabres went into tonight averaging 3.41 goals per game at home, maybe a little slight uptick with the four today. That's the highest they've had in terms of goals at home per game since the 06-07 team that ended up winning the President's Trophy.
Yeah, so that's pretty good company to be in. If it can continue, who knows what pace Jack Eichel ends up at, but you'll get Jeff Skinner back at some point. You're going to get some more offense back, so we'll see if those additions, once they come back from injuries, help out the offense as well.
We heard Jason Bottrell earlier today say Ralph Kruger wants two out of every three to be wins. If they can do that while Skinner and Olofsson are out, that keeps them afloat in the playoff race. And then when you get those two back, then you hope maybe there is a push and there's a long winning streak in there at some point that can get you legitimately back in the race.
And another one of the things that has helped the Sabres recently is, again tonight, they score on the special teams. And that is such a thing that Ralph Kruger talks about. You get the power play goal by Oposo. You get the power play goal by Reinhart. And the coach's belief, Ralph Kruger's belief, that everything kind of starts with the power play. If it's going well, even if you don't score, it leads to more positive momentum. Well, when you get goals, that helps out too. So that's another thing that the Sabres have done as of late that has helped lead to these wins.
All right. Thank you, Pat.
Yep.
Pat Molinaro here. Before we take another timeout, let's get the highlights in now, our moments of the game, brought to you by Firth Jewelers. For all the moments in your life, go forth to Firth. We'll pick it up third period. Sabres with a 2-1 lead. Miller in the box for 4 minutes, and Vegas takes advantage of the power play. Riley Smith tying it up at two.
Face-off won by Vegas. Theodore at the point. He'll watch the line. Played off to the right-hand side. Scores! Did not waste any time. Smith with that shot gets his third power play goal of the season. This game is tied.
So Smith getting his 19th from Theodore and Carlson on the power play. 1:43 in, but the Sabres kill off the other penalty. And then eventually back to even strength where Jack Eichel, giving him the game winner on a 2-on-1 in his 28th of the year, puts Buffalo up for good.
Miller trying to clear. Good support there. And Eichel now with a 2-on-1 developing here. Eichel with Gergensen's in over the line. Eichel walks in. Scores! The Eichel Tower on the rush. Gives the Sabres the lead 3-2.
Eichel's 28th from Reinhardt and Miller. 7:57 mark in the third. That's definitely tonight the game winner and the goal of the game. Brought to you by Revive Spine Center. Our only goal is getting you back to you. Eichel with 28. That ties a career high and also now on pace for 49 goals. Final seconds. Vegas putting on pressure. And the Sabres able to seal it in the empty net.
Picked up by Stone. He looks in front for the deflection. Cleared by Lazar down the ice. Will it have enough? Sweep it. It's in the net.
Lazar's fourth into the empty net with 25 ticks left. And Buffalo wins it by a 4-2 score. Final shot totals tonight, 26-26, all square. Shots on goal brought to you by Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey to the Misfits, Black Sheep, and Screwballs. This one's for you. Power play, Sabres win there again, 2 of 3. Vegas, 1 of 3. That's been a good streak over the last, over January. The Sabres special team starting to have the edge at the end of the night. Your winning goaltender tonight is Linus Ullmark. Some big saves in the third. He makes 24 saves on 26 shots. Marc-Andre Fleury, the loss, 22 saves on 25 shots. The Buffalo's 26 shot went into the empty net. Three stars, all from the Sabres. Kyle Okposo, his fifth of the year. He had a goal, star number 3. Jack Eichel, the game winner, goal and an assist, star number 2. Sam Reinhardt, he had a goal and 2 assists, star number 1. That's your three stars brought to you by Goya. If it's Goya, it has to be good. And with Reinhardt getting first star honors, we'll make Sam Reinhardt our high-impact player of the game tonight. It's brought to you by the Lockport Outdoor Store. High-impact gear for hardworking men and women. You'll travel 1,000 miles to find a store like ours. The attendance tonight here at KeyBank Center, 18,257. Buffalo's next game, Thursday at Dallas, 8:30. I'll have pregame at 7:30. Hope you can be with us then. Buffalo's next home game, not until Tuesday, January 28th. That's against Ottawa. Final score, Sabres win it 4-2. More postgame, including Jason Bottrell's interview in its entirety when we return after this, live at KeyBank Center. I'm Brian Colziel. This is the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Back at KeyBank Center, Brian Colziel with you here on the Paul William Belts postgame show. 4-2 Sabres victorious. Couple of games coming up in the Midwest, Dallas and Nashville on Thursday and Saturday. I'll be with you for pregame Thursday night at 7:30, puck drop from Dallas at 8:30. And then on Saturday, half hour earlier, 7 pregame, 8 o'clock puck drop from Nashville. Nashville will be wearing their Winter Classic jerseys from the Cotton Bowl game against the Stars. And Buffalo will be wearing their blues on the road. I know everybody wants to see the royal blue, but you at least getting blue on the road. Like, I can see you're halfway there. Next year, we'll see royal blue for Buffalo with the uniform change, so that'll be nice. All right. It was a good night for the men wearing blue up in Toronto as we open up our NHL scoreboard look here. It's brought to you by Seneca Buffalo Creek Casino. Nothing else comes close. Maple Leafs put a 7 spot on the Devils. They get goals from Matthews, three goals from Austin Matthews. 32nd, 33rd, and 34th of the year. He's second in the NHL. Only Pastrnak has more. Eichel, of course, trying to catch him. Leafs roll the Devils 7-4. Lightning in a shootout get a victory at home over the Kings by a 4-3 score. Stamkos, Kucherov, Killorn all scoring in that game. Well, the Leafs put up 7. The Islanders beat them. They put up 8. They beat the Red Wings 8-2. God, Detroit is bad. 12-35 are the Red Wings this season. Touchdown in Pittsburgh for the Penguins. Wow, a lot of the goal scoring tonight. 7-3, Penguins beat the Wild. Crosby back. He gets his 6th of the year. Malkin, 2 goals in that game. Blue Jackets shut out the Bruins. 3-0 there. Blackhawks in overtime win in Ottawa by a 3-2 score. Jonathan Toews, the OT winner for Chicago. Right now, early third in Winnipeg. The Jets have a 3-0 lead on the Canucks. 5 minutes into the second period in Colorado, the Avs have a 2-0 lead on the Stars. Nikita Zadorov, the former Sabre, one of the goal scorers there. 2-2, Predators and Oilers. They are early second period in Edmonton. And early second in Arizona, the Coyotes have a 2-0 lead on the San Jose Sharks. Phil Kessel has both goals for the Yotes. In our game, Sabres, a 4-2 win over Vegas. That gives Buffalo their 21st win of the season. So how does it look in the standings right now? Well, Buffalo 21-19-7, a 49-point total. Right now, the last wildcard team is Philadelphia with 54. So the Sabres are 5 points out of it. In between, only 2 teams, Florida with 53, Columbus actually tied with Philly with 54. So the Sabres would have to leapfrog Florida and Columbus and then try to run down Philadelphia right now, if you're thinking wild card. In the Atlantic, it looks like a tougher task. Not that the point total is much different. It's only 2 tougher to get to Toronto with 56. But, I mean, Boston, Tampa, Toronto just seem like they all got their act together right now. Tampa has won 9 of their last 10. The Leafs are scoring like we all thought they would. So I feel like the top 3 in the Atlantic with those 3, it's just not on my radar. I'm thinking it's got to be wild card all the way for Buffalo. And an opportunity to get closer with these games coming up against Dallas and Nashville before they have the 9-day break. All right, before we leave you here on the post game, Sabres GM Jason Bottrell joined our flagship station, WGR, earlier this afternoon, talking with Chopin the Bulldog over at 716. A variety of topics, the state of the team, of course, right now. What to do in terms of how to find some scoring depth at forward, and is he willing to make some trades? He's talking a little Dylan Cousins, too, in depth in the system in terms of maybe what's next coming up for the forwards. But he also talks about trades. So I know everybody wants to hear about that. So here's Jason Bottrell from earlier today right here on the postgame show.
Jason Bottrell with us now. Hi, Jason.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
This has been like we've been missing each other a couple times lately, but you made it.
I think I was supposed to be on, and we were in the middle of the Scandella and Frolik trade at that time, so right. I do appreciate your understanding from that, but happy new year to you guys.
Happy new year. That was interesting. Like, yeah. So Chris Bandura from the front office called me early that day and used the term league call, and in retrospect that night I thought maybe that should have been a term that I would associate with a trade. Now there was no news of a trade at noon that day, but I wonder if that was a
One took a little bit longer just because Frolik did have the no trade clause, and it was there was a few different things in it, because obviously Montreal had a trade going with Ottawa,
right.
Then the trade with us, we then had the trade with Calgary going, and it was one of those things where you knew everything was correlated from that, so it sometimes took a little bit to organize it all.
So you had to wait for Montreal to make its other move.
Yeah, it was one of those things where you knew everything was contingent on the other one working out, and obviously it was in contingent on Frolik waving his no trade too, it wasn't a situation until Calgary went to talk to Michael after their morning skate. So it was one of those things too where Calgary was having a game, we were having a game that day. You had a few things to get through and stuff, but right. Glad it worked all out for our group here.
Sure, very understandable. I think maybe a lot of our audience was kind of hoping you wouldn't show up today, because that would mean something was happening. I mean, I hope you don't take that in the spirit it's intended, you know. But with that in mind, like how do you feel about where your team is right now? Like, what do you think can still be accomplished this year?
Well, I think it's a situation where we've you know, coming out of the break at Christmas time, I thought we played very well against Boston and Tampa Bay. To get 0 points out of those 3 games was disheartening, for sure. I liked how our group responded against Edmonton and Florida there. Going into St. Louis, that's a level that we still have to get to. that upper echelon in the National Hockey League. And the way I look at the league right now, I think there's, you can may have debated a little bit, but I think there's seven or eight really very top teams, and then everyone else can beat anybody on any given night. And that's what we're trying to accomplish here right now and stuff. And, you know, I thought, you know, it was important that we got the victory in Detroit after a game against Vancouver where, you know, that's a game that we have to find a way to win. 3-3 in our own building. You know, we have to find a way to at least come away with points from in that situation there. So we got three games here before the break. Have our father's trip starting tomorrow. I think hopefully just in a little bit more added incentive for some of our players, and then we'll see where we go from there.
In that calculation you revealed about seven or eight top teams, is there room for you as you break that down to make the playoffs? I mean, you're 7 points out, I think, at the moment. We talked earlier about last night's Philadelphia-Boston game and brought up Marchand whiffing on that shootout attempt.
Yep.
And Bulldog's like, well, my first thought was that's two more points for the Flyers. I'm like, good thing you're here, because I was not really thinking of it that way. Like, I wondered if you're watching that game thinking the same way.
Trust me, there's going to be a ton of three-point games. The teams are going to go continue to work on. Some teams are going to get hot, and you've seen it throughout the league and stuff from that standpoint. What our focus has to be is our own internal how we play, how we're doing against our own teams here. And, you know, I know Ralph has mentioned a lot about winning two or three games, you know, trying to minimize things. And, you know, you can't always look at the big picture. I think our group has excelled when it's tried to stay in the small picture there. Our focus here now is on the next few games here, see where it goes from the break, and then materialize from there.
I guess.
But if you're scoreboard watching in January, look, teams around you are going to win. It's just that, and especially when they're playing against each other all the time, and there's going to be a lot of three-point games, how close the league is.
I think, if I may, this may sound like you think your team is at a level where someone else might think that more dramatic changes are necessary to see this team actually, you know, really compete. I mean, you're at an 85, 86-point pace. Would that be wrong? Like, do you see this as a team that's close to really rising?
Well, we haven't had the production yet. We haven't had the results yet, so we still have to improve 100%. Like, there's a situation where, you know, we're not an elite team by any means, and should we be in a conversation for playoffs? Well, yeah, I think we certainly should be in that conversation, but hey, we can continue to talk about it, but we have to go out there and actually have the results. Like, it's one thing to play well against, hey, the Bostons and Tampa Bays, but when we have a 4-1 lead at home, we have to find a way to finish off that game, and it's good that we're playing well against those teams, but now finding better results is certainly that we have to do.
When you face a situation like that, the 4-1 lead against Tampa is a great example. How do you feel like your coach is handling the team? Like, is that tough talk time? Like, how do you think he proceeds in those situations?
Well, I think one of Ralph's best things was the day afterwards from that standpoint. Look, it was a disheartening loss. It was a situation where we talked about it. Tampa Bay, you know, we knew coming into the season this year they were going to be a top team. To go 0-3 against them and then going into that game, we had certainly circled that game as an important challenge for our group. And I liked how we came out, got the lead from that standpoint, got some secondary scoring, which I think was key from that in that game, and then to let it slip. To go from sort of a festive environment in the second period to, hey, losing the game at home, it was difficult. And then what I liked was what Ralph did with our group to try to refocus them to get back on taking it small. The playoffs, hey, we'll worry about that another time, but what we have to work on right now is get back in the swing of thing. And then we start the next game against Edmonton. It's not a great start. It's down 2-0. Like, okay, everything could unravel here at this point. But our group found a way to get that win in that game, and then went and had a strong game against Florida. So
that, yeah, so that's New Year's Eve.
Yep,
the Tampa game, right?
Yep.
And yeah, New Year's Day is the day that I don't attend these practices or the news the news conferences, but the video that the team posted, he just spoke for like 15 minutes, and I watched every minute of it.
Yep.
And I'm not gonna lie to you, I don't often do that. I hear highlights and I read what happened, but I sat watching that, and I loved him. Mm-hmm. Like how he communicated that day. Can you tell us, is that basically the same message he gave to the team that day?
The biggest message that is obviously it's a cliche of keeping it simple, but keeping it small. Like, that's what we have to do in a situation like this. And if you look at the small picture, we just came away from three games where we felt we played well, but we didn't get the results. So at the end of the day, that's not acceptable. So you pull the positives of what you're trying to do as a team, but then, hey, what do we have to do now to change to make sure that that outcome changes in the future here? And that's where I think Ralph's done a very good job with our group in speaking to the group, but then also in smaller, you know, whether it's this line or this power play group, just that dynamics of not always being the group mentality of individuals. And I think as, you know, Donnie Granato's got back into the mix here, been healthy and been working with us, I think our assistant coaches have done a good job with the development of our individual players. So as a staff, they continue to grow and hopefully have a strong second half here.
Jason Botterill with us. You are talking about the playoffs a little bit here. We'll see what happens. I mean, there's some work to do to make it. I think fans would like to think that there is, from a development standpoint, a lot coming into the equation here that would make people reinforce the idea that the Sabres are about to become a real contender.
Yep.
And I don't know where that is, where that stands, Jason. I'd like to hear you talk about this. I mean, since you've gotten here, important players have been traded away.
Yep.
And I know you have the Thompson injury, too. He was on the team last year. Mittelstadt is down there. What else, especially in terms of forwards? Because it seems to me that the Sabres have had this same lack of scoring depth past Jack Eichel for several years.
No, and I think Ralph's done a great job in getting the most out of Jack and continuing to work with Jack to expand his game. And, you know, obviously Victor Olofsson's had a great season so far. The injury hurts him, but, you know, unknowing Victor and his dedication, he's certainly going to come back from that. But just the continued development of Jack and Sam Reinhart and their production, is, I think Ralph has done an excellent job there. Tage's disappointment. It's a disappointment thing for our entire organization just because of what we challenged Tage in the offseason. He went through with it. There was things for him to work on specifically in Rochester. I thought he did that. I thought he had a great start to the season in Rochester. Came up and obviously got the injury. It's just something that we have to deal with. Tage has to deal with it. And the good thing is he's going to have the opportunity to have a strong summer and be ready to go next year. With a player like Casey Mittelstadt, Casey could be up here in the National Hockey right now surviving, but we don't view that as a situation long-term with him. We view him as a player that can certainly help to and add to our offensive punch. And you've seen that in games, the first game of the season this year against Pittsburgh, out in L.A. He has that ability, but it now has to work from a consistent standpoint. And development, you wish it would just always be a linear approach and that you're always, you know, every day you're seeing improvement in players, but sometimes there's dips. And in a situation with that, we felt very comfortable placing him in Rochester with a coach and Chris Taylor that worked very closely with Casey at the National Hockey League level, had seen Casey's best games and also some of the games where he struggled, and knew exactly what he had to work on for him to get back into the system here and what Ralph needs from him moving forward here. So that. I would also say, like, you look at the development of Rasmus Asplund, we've been happy about. He stepped in earlier than what we anticipated from that standpoint. And then I think just what we continue to try to add on our back end is players with that skill, that puck movement ability that can create more offense from our back end there. And you want, hey, we all would love our 19 and 20-year-old defensemen and Joakim Harju and Dahlin to be, you know, Norris Trophy winners this year and everything like that. But there's going to be a development process for those guys. And that's why we also wanted to bring up Lawrence Pilot. He's accomplished some things in the American Hockey League that we've been very happy with. We want to see how we fit in with our group here right now. And it's important for us as an organization to continue to develop these guys. And I think as an organization, it's finding ways to get more offense from our back end here to help out our forwards.
I'm just thinking, though, with due respect, we talked about the three players, Mittelstadt, Thompson, and Asplund, and they might have, and I'm just guessing here, 200 games in the league at this point, and how many goals is it? Like 20 goals? I don't even know how many goals it is, right? Like you've got guys, least so Asplund, who just doesn't have as much NHL experience, but beyond guys who've played in the league, is there hope for someone else in the organization to become a real scorer for you? And yes, of course, you're right to mention Olofsson, who's absolutely done that.
No, he certainly helped our group a lot there. We're excited about where Dylan Cousins is from his development. We think he had a very good World Juniors from a standpoint of being a player to rely on for Team Canada, gain that experience at an elite level. And then, hey, look, it's our job to continue to find ways to get more of our players. I still think there's more offense to become from a player like Connor Sheary or a player like Jimmy Vesey. It's important to pull that out of it. You look at a player like Marcus Johansson has shown glimpses of it and has been a good leader for us, but I know Marcus also wants to contribute more offensively from that standpoint. So that's the responsibility of our players and also as an organization to find more players to support some of our young players.
So you mentioned here at the outset, like, some of the results haven't been there even though the performances were good games, and I have no problem with that. I would agree with it. The games against Boston specifically, I think, maybe have been some of your best games, and you haven't gotten any points out of those games. So the team has to perform. You need to get results. How much urgency do you feel to do something to supplement the group here? We started with trades. I guess maybe we'll end with trades. Like, do you feel some urgency to do something for the group to try to help even when Skinner comes back and eventually Olsen?
Yeah, like, look, missing Skinner and Olsen are big for our group from an offensive standpoint. But come on, like, everybody in the league has injuries that they deal with. And that's something that, you know, we have to continue to improve our depth to handle these injuries better in the future. But no, yeah, we want to make trades. We're looking to add to our group from that. I don't think we've been hit from that situation even all the way back to November. And you know, people ask about, well, are you waiting to the trade deadline for these type of things? No, we're open to trying to find something that can certainly add to our group. But it hasn't materialized. We'll continue to look at it. And there's no use, I've mentioned this before, there's no use saying that, well, we're close on a trade or this and that until it actually happens and we announce something. It's just talk, and that's what we're trying to proceed with some things. It hasn't materialized, but we'll continue to look.
Yes, unless you tell us about every conversation you're having with almost trades. Maybe there are hundreds of those. So you just acknowledge, if you just admit those things, divulge that information,
those might be more
the talk
than the
can be
trade.
More interesting. Yes, we would know what's out there. And
For next time here, I'll bring my notebook so you guys can all have it, and we can follow up with all
of them. It would be great if you had, like, stacks of notebooks with these things in it. Real quick, Jason, one more thing. Goaltending, yep. Right? Carter Hutton is barely playing. Lots of goals are going in his last couple of games. Who can you at least say, like, who would be the guy? Is it Hammond? Like, we're not watching Rochester. Is he next? Or maybe this is more a question about younger guys, Lukanen or whoever in the organization. Like, what are the options?
So here, look, from a standpoint, we've been very happy with how Linus Allmark has been from a consistency standpoint. He's been able to handle more of a workload this year. I think he's done a very good job from that standpoint. You know, we're disappointed in Carter's performance. Carter's disappointed in that performance, and that's what we're trying to find. You know, what is the trigger to get him back on track here? And the good thing is that's where his whole career has been. He's been someone who's been against the odds, sort of been counted out. And he's always found a way to get back, and that's where his work ethic and practice. And you know, we're hoping that's going to trigger something here to help him out and help our group out in the second half. You look at it; we've had solid goaltending in Rochester throughout the season here. It's great to see Jonas Johansson make it to the American Hockey League All-Star Game. You talk about a longer-term process. Him playing a lot of the games in the East Coast League the last couple of years, now getting an opportunity to step in there. Andrew Hammond's a veteran player who we feel comfortable playing National Hockey League games. And you talked about Lukanen. We've brought him into Rochester this week. That was part of the plan way in advance to get him some experience practicing at the American Hockey League, going to get an opportunity to play games. And then we'll get him back to ECHL and continue his development there.
So Johansson is their number one at this time.
Johansson and Hammond are both. They both split the duties from that standpoint.
Okay, and Johansson is an all-star. Mm-hmm. Very good. Thank you, Jason. Nice to see you.
I appreciate it, guys. You have a good evening.
All right, that was Sabres general manager Jason Bottrell. Hope you enjoyed that from earlier today. For more on tonight's game, you can check out Paul Hamilton's article, WGR550.com. Up next for the Sabres, two-game road trip. At Dallas Thursday at 8:30, at Nashville Saturday at 8, and then they'll have a week off for the mandatory bye. They won't play home again until Tuesday, January 28th, that against the Ottawa Senators. So a good night for Buffalo. They pick up their 21st win of the season, 4-2, the final over Vegas, as we put a wrap tonight on our Paul William Belt's postgame show. Want to thank our crew back in our Amherst studios, Kyle Powell, our network producer, the crew here at KeyBank Center, Pat Malacaro, Jonathan Koziel, Paul Hamilton in the room as our reporter. Our pregame show hosts were Chopin the Bulldog and our game announcers Dan Dunleavy and Rob Ray. My name is Brian Colziel. I thank you for listening. Again, the final here from KeyBank Center. It was the Sabres 4 and the Golden Knights 2. We'll talk to you Thursday night with the Sabres in Dallas right here on the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.